The Corsican Brothers, from the novel by Alexandre Dumas. At last, after many days of anxious waiting, Madame de Franchi, who had been told by the novelist Pierre Godet that her son had disappeared, sees him at last walking a horse up the mountain track and into the grounds of his mother's home. His twin brother Lucien rushes out to meet him, but as he helps the white-faced Louis from his horse, Louis tells him that Marianne Gadici, if she ever sees him again, will shoot him on sight.
Oh, you're wrong, Louis. Marianne and I... Well, I can't talk of it in front of my mother. Not yet.
I know. It's a long story, Lucien, but she thought I was you.
What?
Yes. When I tried to tell her that I was not you, I...
Oh, why, Louis. Louis, you look so ill. Here, give me your arm.
I feel faint.
Here.
I've been through a great deal.
Oh, I know, my brother. I suffered with you.
You?
Yes. Just as you suffered with me when I was stabbed.
Louis. Oh, my son.
Mother.
I knew you were alive. I knew you were safe. What did I tell you, Lucien? Look at him, Monsieur Godet. It is Louis, alive and well.
Not well, Mother.
Not well?
No. He suffered as we guessed.
Oh, Louis.
I've been riding for 3 days in the mountains. If it hadn't been for peasants along the way, I think I should have...
Louis!
He's fainted.
Poor boy, he's as white as death.
Death?
We must get him to the house at once. Griffo! Griffo! Come here quickly, it's my brother. We need your help.
Oh,
Griffo!
Louis, what have they done to you? What have they done to you, my boy?
Carefully, tenderly, Griffo and Lucien carried the inert form of Louis de Franchi into the house, where he was laid in a comfortable bed with clean white sheets, and Madame herself to nurse him. However, to the horror of them all, they discovered that across his back were ugly red weals and cuts, proof positive that he had been flogged as they had feared. Lucien's thoughts were in a turmoil. The little he had heard of Marianne Gadici amazed him beyond measure, but his troubled mind did not prevent him from acting quickly on his brother's behalf. Galloping a horse quickly to the village lower down on the mountain slopes, he brought back an earnest, though rather unskillful, Corsican physician, who applied a thick yellow substance across the back of the sick, exhausted Louis, and pronounced that he must not leave his bed for some weeks. Later, the anxious family forgathered in the living room, there to discuss this sudden turn of events.
He is so weak. He cannot speak above a whisper.
I would hardly have recognized him. For the first time, Lucien, your brother is not like you.
No?
His face is so drawn, lined with pain.
Beasts! If it were in my power, I would shoot them all dead. Each one of the Gadici.
I think, madame, that his pain is mental as well as physical.
I do not follow you, monsieur.
Louis left Paris with a broken heart. You know what Emilie Latouche did to him. Now it seems that his body as well as his spirit has been flogged. He's a very sick boy.
But he has the strength of mind to recover.
Madame, I think you must face the truth. Perhaps the doctor was not as frank with you as he was with me. Maybe because he didn't wish to bring further worry down on you. I spoke with him as he rode his horse through the gates. He said that if the boy didn't have the will to live, there'd be no progress. Rather would he go back and back until...
Oh, no, monsieur.
But the doctor didn't speak to me of this.
Sometimes a stranger is told much more, especially if a doctor has a kind heart, which would spare a relative.
Oh, but he must live. He's a de Franchi, my brother. We're the only two after my mother.
He should be happy to live, monsieur. He has found us, we have found him, and there is a purpose in our lives.
Well, at present he doesn't appreciate your purpose, which I gather is the final suppression of the Gadici.
More than that, monsieur. Their extinction.
Madame, it's hard to consider the vendetta from Louis' point of view. He's city-bred, brought up in Parisian society. Besides, his heart is broken.
He'll live. I'll vouch for that. I'll talk with him. I'll make him understand that there is a purpose in his life, as there is in mine.
As there is in yours?
As there was in mine.
What do you mean?
Oh, nothing, Mother, except that Louis said something strange before he collapsed.
What was it?
Well, I'd rather not talk of it because, well, I don't understand. Later, when Louis can talk with me, perhaps then I'll know exactly what my purpose is.
Louis. It is Louis.
He's calling for Emily Latouche. Poor Louis.
Emily! Emily!
Louis, my son. Louis. Louis, dear Louis. What is it?
Is it you, Emily?
It is your mother here.
Where is she? Where is she?
Lie still, Louis. Oh, Lucien, look at his white face. The suffering.
The suffering of mind and body.
Emily.
She's always in his mind.
It's strange how a woman can leave an impression like that. Always in the mind.
And to think that he should meet a woman who would treat him so.
She's absolutely heartless. She led him on and on. A woman who was interested in him only when she thought he had prospects, great wealth. I wonder where she is now. The beautiful Emily Latouche.
Emily. Emily.
Emily, turn around.
Well?
Perfect.
My only objection is that it hides my figure, my waist.
My dear, you insisted on ermine to the floor. You have ermine to the floor.
You really like it?
It's not for me to say. It's for you.
I think it's wonderful to be clothed in fur. It gives the girl confidence, makes her feel like a woman. Have you ever bought a fur coat for another woman, Paul? You have.
My dear, I've bought many. And I can tell you this. Here in England, a coat such as you're wearing is considered conspicuous.
Oh.
But in Paris, the rage. Here, the women inside such coats are not the kind of women one should know.
Really? Paul, you've had a great deal of experience with women.
But not with a wife. You are now my wife.
Tell me about these women.
Well, I've seen thousands of them. Debutantes, mistresses, wives, old maids. I've seen them eating, I've seen them drinking. I know their smell, lavender and chocolate and perspiration. And the scent of their flower corsages all mixed up together.
Oh, Paul, how horrible.
But not you, my dear. You always smell like a garden in the early morning. Roses and violets. And something of the exotic, too. Yes. Wisteria and jasmine and tuberoses.
Is it any wonder that you sweep me off my feet? You say the nicest things always.
You're worth it, my dear. A beauty with a brain.
And a fur coat. Oh, Paul, it's glorious, really it is. How much did you ask for it?
Never you mind. That's the one question you'll never have to ask, my pet.
These lovely pearl earrings that you gave me. You always keep your promises.
With you, yes.
Oh, Paul, I'm so happy it's almost too good to last.
But you haven't seen London yet. Not properly.
I don't care where I am, so long as I'm with you. Although...
Yes, Amelia?
Sometimes it's a nipping little fear, deep down in my heart. Papa and Mama.
You miss them, I know.
Not all the time.
Oh, but you do.
I'm wondering if they'll reply to my letter. Do you think they will? It'd be such a shock, knowing that I married someone they hardly know. Knowing that I've left scandal all around them because I was betrothed to another.
Amelia, I hope you're not thinking of him.
Louis? Oh, good heavens, no. Apart from Papa and Mama, there's only one person I think of. And believe me, he comes first.
Amelia, I'm surprised at you putting all your cards on the table. That's not quite the strategy of love, Amelia.
You did not let me finish. He comes first, yes. After my first.
You little rogue. Another barb like that, and I shall think the coat is too expensive after all.
Oh, it's always the same. Emily, Emily, Emily! He calls for her constantly.
Poor Louis. Such mental torture. Is the doctor still with him?
No. He's been talking with my mother. They've been in the sitting room for over half an hour.
Emily!
Oh, listen to him. Listen to him. Oh, if there was only something we could do. He gets weaker every day. Every hour I see the life ebbing from him. Oh, here's my mother now,
Madame.
Well?
The doctor has gone.
What did he say, Madame Defarge?
He is dying.
Oh, can nothing save him?
Yes.
What?
There is a person who can save him, Lucien. Her name is Emilie Latouche.
Emilie?
He calls for her night and day. The doctor declares that if she is brought to his bedside, if she talks with him, it will give him the will to live.
And so Emilie stands between life and death for the young, suffering Louis de Franchi. Is it within the bounds of possibility that Emilie might come to his bedside? You will hear more of this in the next enthralling chapter of The Corsican Brothers. Thank you.